All right, welcome to episode 30 of Storytime with Gooseberry Aunties. This is the second time we've recorded this episode, and the reason for that is when I was reading the first time, I was nicely sitting with a three-year-old, and then two families arrived at the same time, and our day just sped up. We did continue with story time, but it was enjoyable for the kids, but it just wasn't something we could record. So a big favorite of the daycare is, they have so many favorites, but we had read Where the Wild Things Are. Something they really like about this story is that it has pictures that you can tell different ways, different things to observe in every picture. So I try and retell the stories and read the words as well. So that's something that our group of kids likes a lot. Richard, would you like to read the words or do you want me to read them?
You.
Okay. Where the Wild Things Are, Story and Pictures by Maurice Sendak. The night Max wore his wolf suit and made mischief of one kind and another. His mother called him Wild Thing and Max said, "I'll eat you up." So he was sent to his bed without eating anything. That night in Max's room, a forest grew.
And grew.
From his imagination. And grew and grew until his ceiling hung with vines and the walls became the world all around. And an ocean tumbled by with a private boat for Max, and he sailed off through the night and day. And in and out of weeks and almost over a year to where all the wild things are. And when he came to the place where the wild things are, they roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and rolled their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws.
Mom?
Mm-hmm.
I was saying.
Till Max said, "Be still," and tamed them with a magic trick of staring into all their yellow eyes without blinking once. And they were frightened and called him the most wild thing of all.
Dun, dun, dun.
And made him king of all wild things. And now, cried Max, let the wild rumpus start. They're swinging in the trees and marching through the forest. "Now stop," Max said, and sent the wild things off to bed without their supper.
Burp.
And Max, the king of all the wild things, was lonely and wanted to be where someone loved him best of all. Who loved him best of all, Richard? His mom. Then all around from far away across the world, he smelled good things to eat. So he gave up being king of where the wild things are. But the wild things cried, "Oh, please don't go. We'll eat you up. We love you so." And Max said, "No." The wild things roared their terrible roars and gnashed their terrible teeth and rolled their terrible eyes and showed their terrible claws. But Max stepped into his private boat and waved goodbye. And sailed back over a year and in and out of weeks and through a day and into the night of his very own room, where he found his supper waiting for him, and it was still hot. The Cat Club, written and illustrated by Esther Averill. In Captain Tinker's garden, once upon a time, there was a cat club. All the cats and kittens in their neighborhood were members, all but Jenny Linsky. Jenny Linsky was a small black orphan cat who lived with Captain Tinker. He had found Jenny in the street where the dogs were chasing her. No one knew where she had come from, and the captain took her home. He was very kind to Jenny. She had cream and chicken every night for supper. Her coal black fur grew soft and glossy. Her yellow eyes began to be a happy look. One day the captain said to her, "You and I must always be best friends." That made Jenny's heart beat fast, but the captain added gently, "I think a little cat like you should go outdoors sometimes and play. Lots of nice cats live in this garden." Jenny had often heard of the cat club singing after dark. They do have fun, she thought, but she was too shy to say hello to them. Shy little cats need help, thought Captain Tinker to himself. Captain Tinker, who was an old sailor, liked to make things, and many years ago he had learned to knit. He knitted a woolen scarf for Jenny, a bright red woolen scarf to go with her black fur and yellow eyes. How Jenny loved that scarf! How brave she felt when she was wearing it! And one fine night she put it on and went into the garden. It was a lovely garden full of flowers and trees and bushes. On three sides were rows of pink brick houses. On the other side was a tall board fence that kept the dogs away. Jenny and the captain lived in the brick house that was covered with ivy. Jenny crept softly through the grass and found a hiding place beneath a rose bush. There she waited for the cat club. She waited a long time. Suddenly, a slim white cat sped through the grass, dashed up the maple tree, and began to sing. This was Concertina, the club secretary. She sang, "Come all ye cats and kittens, with your whiskers and your mittens, come a running to the cat club jamboree."
Well, that rhymes.
It does rhyme.
Mom,
Yes, son.
I'm in your father's looking.
Mr. President came first. Mr. President was a well-fed cat.
Mom.
Mr. President came first. Mr. President was a well-fed cat who always wore a collar with his name and number on the tag. He walked slowly out of the brick house and took his place, the chair, he called it, on the meeting ground beneath the maple tree. Then the others came. They came one by one and two by two from darkened doorways and over the tall board fence. They formed a circle in front of Mr. President. Concertia in the maple tree gives the signal for the cats to come. Just before the meeting, Mr. President speaks to his young nephew, Junior. The fluffy cat is Butterfly. The twins are Romulus and Remus. The cat jumping over the flower is Macaroni. Solomon, and the wise cat who reads, sits on the books and watches the two great fighters, Sinbad and the Duke. The two cats in earnest conversation are the sweethearts, Arabelle and Antonio. Mr. President opens the meeting and spoke a few brief words about money matters. Afterwards, the club moved to the porch of the Concertia's house. Jenny stretched her neck and, peeping through the rose leaves, saw everything that happened. The spotted two cats, Rumpus and Remus, crawled through the kitchen window and returned with a large paper package. A feast, a fish, cried all the cats. They tore off the paper and devoured the fish. After they had licked their paws and whiskers, the lovely Persian cat, Butterfly, brought out her nose flute and began to play. The cats sang and danced and joked until the wee small hours. One by one, the club went home. The last car to go was Jenny Linsky. She had not dreamed the cats could have such fun. Night after night, she crept into the garden and watched the cat club from behind the rose bush. "What clever cats they are," sighed Jenny. "All of them can do things. Look at Butterfly. She plays a nose flute. Look at Macaroni. He can dance on his hind legs. And what can I do?" Poor little Jenny. There was nothing she could do, but she was content to watch the others at their fun and frolic. One night, to her surprise, Rumpus and Remus, who were going to the meeting, poked their noses right into the rose bush, cried gaily, "Hi there, sister, you're the new cat, aren't you?" The twins were in such lively spirits that Jenny did not feel afraid. "Yes," she answered, "I'm Jenny Linsky." "Well, Jenny, wouldn't you like to join our cat club?" asked the twins. They did not give her time to answer. They whisked her off between them. But when they reached the meeting ground, fear overcame her, and the other cats were there staring at her with their gleaming eyes, as if to say, "And what can you do, little black cat? What can you do?" This was too much for Jenny. She gave a yowl of terror and fled home. Next morning, Rumpus and Remus went to Jenny's house, looked through the garden window, and called, "Jenny, Jenny Linsky." Jenny did not answer. She was lying on the soapbox in the cellar. The twins had come to cheer her up, and they all went away discouraged. In the afternoon, the Persian cat, the lovely one named Butterfly, pressed her silky face against the window pane and called, "Jenny, Jenny Linsky." Jenny Linsky did not answer. She was still lying on the soapbox in the cellar. Butterfly, too, went off discouraged. In the evening, the entire cat club, singing loudly, trooped through the garden on their way to Jenny's house. Mr. President came first. Behind him walked Butterfly, playing on her nose flute. Concertia followed. She had a high soprano voice that led the singing, and behind her, one by one, or two by two, the singers marched. First came Rumpus and Remus. Next, Mr. President's young nephew, Junior, accompanied by Solomon, the bookish cat. The fancy dancer, Macaroni, followed. He was waltzing. Behind Macaroni came the sweethearts, Arabelle and Antonio. Lastly marched the two great fighters, Sinbad and the Duke. All of them were singing, "Meow," and a purr. "We want her, Jenny, Jenny, Jenny." Alas, they sang too loudly. A man who could not sleep threw down a bucket full of water and broke up their fine parade. The members scampered home to dry their dripping fur. They did not meet again until the following night, when they had other plans and did not go to Jenny's house. It was summer, and in the summer, cat clubs are very busy. So in the end, the club in Captain Tinker's garden quite forgot about poor Jenny Linsky. Still, you cannot blame them. You cannot expect other cats to think always about their troubles. Jenny was ashamed of having run away, now staying indoors. Time dragged. Now and again, she played games with Captain Tinker. But when night came, she heard the cats in the garden. She longed to be with them. Richard, do you think she's maybe getting braver?
Yeah. Mom, look.
Is she ice skating?
Yeah.
Wow. "And that will never happen," she sighed. They are too clever. All of them can do things. What can I do? Nothing. Time passed. The birds flew south. The honeysuckle and the rose bush lost their leaves. Winter came and everything was frozen. Then Captain Tinker flooded the garden and made a pond where the boys and the girls could skate. One day, while Jenny watched the skating from the window, she turned suddenly to Captain Tinker. "I would love to skate," she said. "That's something I could do." Jenny was surprised that Captain Tinker did not answer. She went to him and put her paw upon his arm. "Captain," she said, "if I could only have some skates." Captain Tinker remained silent because he doesn't understand her, Richard. He sat in his armchair, puffing at his pipe, looking thoughtful. Jenny did not know that out of the corner of his eye, the captain watched her as she climbed the stairs. Upstairs, she hunted for skates in a bureau drawer, that means in a dresser drawer, and on the closet shelves. She found nothing. In the night, while Captain Tinker was asleep, Jenny came downstairs and searched the downstairs closet. She ransacked the drawer where Captain Tinker kept his fishing tackle. That means she made a mess. She found hooks and lines and corks, but no skates. In November, it snowed, the first snowstorm Jenny had ever seen. All afternoon, she watched the snowflakes falling. By evening, the garden was entirely white. Jenny stole outdoors and hunted in the drifts. She found snowflakes shaped like flowers and stars and spider webs, but no skates. "I'm glad Jenny has gone outdoors at last," thought Captain Tinker. "Now we shall see what we shall see." Bright and early the following day, the captain went to his workshop in the cellar, that means the basement. He closed the door behind him and would not let Jenny in. All morning, she could hear him tapping with his hammer. The mysterious hammering and tapping went on for many days. On Christmas Eve, Captain Tinker came upstairs with something in his pocket. Jenny watched him as he lit the Christmas candle and pulled back the curtains. "The stars are out," said Captain Tinker, looking at the sky. As he said it, he took out of his pocket four little
skates.
"Could they be real?" Jenny stared. She reached out and touched them, oh, so gently with her paw. They were real, and they were silver, and they had sharp, shiny blades. "Ice skates," she whispered. "Silver ice skates. Oh, Captain." The captain strapped the skates on Jenny's paws. They fitted perfectly. Her ankles wobbled for a moment. Then she felt quite steady. Captain Tinker tied her scarf on and went into the garden. At the pond, she hesitated. Which paw goes first, she wondered. She struck forth on her right front paw and glided. Then with her left hind paw, she gave a shove and glided further. She began to skim across the ice. It was a pretty sight to see her skating with her red muffler and streaming. That means going behind her. And her bright skates flashing in the moonlight. She cut figure eights and flowers and stars. The cat club saw her. They were at the other end of the pond and they had been singing Christmas carols. Their mouths hung open and they bulged, and their eyes bulged as they looked at Jenny Linsky. No one in the club had ever seen a cat skate. Suddenly, Rumpus and Remus cried, "Jenny, Jenny Linsky!" And all the other cats cried, "Jenny, Jenny Linsky!" She glided towards them. Rumpus and Remus dashed to meet her, and before they knew it, she was standing in front of Mr. President. "Mr. President," said Rumpus and Remus, "we hope that this black cat, a friend of ours, will now be asked to join the club. Look at her." Mr. President looked at Jenny with his beady eyes. "What is your name?" he asked. Jenny Linsky, she replied, where'd you live? In Captain Tinker's house. Can you do anything? Asked Mr. President. I can skate, said Jenny proudly. Yippee, yip, 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 cried all the cats. When the cheering died down, Mr. President addressed the club, saying, the question is, shall our distinguished guest, Miss Jenny Linsky, who can skate, be asked to join the cat club? All the cats in favor raised their right front paw. Every member raised a right front paw. All cats opposed, kick a left leg. No one kicked a left hind leg. Two cats went into the bushes to count the votes. They came back quickly and whispered to Mr. President's ear. Mr. President looked satisfied. He turned to Jenny. Miss Jenny Linsky, said Mr. President, the vote has been counted. I have the noble honor to inform you that you are a member of the Cat Club. Mr. President, said Jenny in a high, clear voice, and you and my trusty friends, I thank you. Jenny would have made a longer speech, but the Cat Club crowded around her, hoping for a chance to touch the silver skates. And that's the end of the story. What do you think, Richard?
Good.
I think that's a nice book.